tonight's Midlife Crisis Task Force, we're going to discuss the Super Bowl, Facebook, our current music listening tastes, and a public service announcement. Hello, Internet. We are the Midlife Crisis Task Force. I am Rando.
I'm Poncho.
And I'm Lefty.
And welcome back, everyone.
How's it going?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, same here.
Hard to believe we're on show 7 already.
Yes. I know. Yes, and we've gotten some, we picked up a couple of new followers. Thanks for everyone who's joined us, and thanks to everyone who's liked us. And I understand we got some views from some far-flung places.
Yeah, we got places like Indonesia and Jamaica and over across the pond in England, so... welcome aboard. We hope you come back.
Tally-ho.
Exactly, and we hope you're enjoying everything. And I wanted to give a quick shout-out to Bad Horror Good Times. I checked out your blog this week. It's very interesting stuff. If you get a chance, guys, go out there and check it out.
Will do. Will do. All right. Either of you guys watch the Super Bowl?
Nah.
No.
Nah.
Okay, that's over. Okay, next topic.
The only thing Super Bowl related I have even bothered to track down and watch, it was the extended spot for Iron Man 3. Otherwise, the only reason I know who won is because it was on the news the next day.
I did watch it even though I didn't care. Let me rephrase that. I don't like either of the teams that were playing. That's the first time that's ever happened, believe it or not. The two teams I actively dislike were going head-to-head. And that went back into the conference finals as well. The four teams that were playing were teams I disliked, so I didn't watch those games at all. But I did watch the Super Bowl. It ended up being as good as I could have hoped for because it was an entertaining game to watch. That hasn't been true for Super Bowls in the past.
No, a lot of them have been blowouts.
Yeah,
I mean,
we've been lucky this past decade or so. They've actually been pretty good games. But you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was easily the worst game of the season every year because it would just be so lopsided. But it was an entertaining game. Never had a power outage during the game before. That was unusual.
Did you watch the halftime show?
I had it on while I was like surfing the net on my iPad. My Android tablet. But I didn't. Beyonce. It was good for what it was. I mean, I don't care for that type of music. So she's nice to look at, though. So there was that.
Yeah, I've seen some pictures and stills from it. Yeah, she is. She was definitely dressed to the nines on that one.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of not so flattering pictures of her going around the internet.
And I've seen those too.
Those are kind of funny, actually. There's one where they've made her up like She-Hulk. It's pretty hysterical.
Nice.
But, it was as good as you could expect. The commercials were okay. I figured out that over the years of watching this game that there's a direct correlation between the quality of commercials versus the quality of the game. If the commercials are really good, the game sucks. And if the game is really good, the commercials are so-so to sucky. So the commercials were so-so this year. It wasn't anything that really jumped out and said, hey, that's really cool.
Yeah, I checked out some of the commercials on YouTube. But, yeah, I wasn't impressed by anything. It's not – I like them when they're really funny. It's just nothing, like you said, nothing that ever jumped out at me.
Yeah. Okay, well, on to our next topic, I guess, which is Facebook.
Sure. That sounds good.
Good old facepalm. I mean, Facebook.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't know, what can one say about Facebook? What I was curious about to know is you guys, you know, your take on it. Do you think this phenomenon will last?
That's an interesting question. I can definitely see it going on for maybe the next 5 years, definitely. The problem with these web things now is that they burn themselves out. I mean, look what happened to Friendster. Look what happened to MySpace. Mm-hmm. You know, 5-6 years ago, MySpace was the shit. Little spider cobwebs all over the thing because nobody's using it. Facebook has just become this marketing, or rather advertising, I should probably say, juggernaut. Well, I guess it ties into marketing. For whatever reason, everybody wants to be liked on Facebook, whether you're a person or a corporation. I have no idea why in the hell anyone wants to go to Facebook to like Kroger or Procter & Gamble or what have you.
Yeah. Yay, corporate America. We love you. Yeah. Not.
I don't get that aspect of it, but
right.
It's a troubling trend to how these social media sites, they're hawked with this mentality of, oh, we're going to connect everybody and it'll be this wonderful utopia, but it's not. I think it disassociates people because you're able to blow people off. You can chat in very short things that don't demand your attention. And I think it's something that isolates people more than it brings them together. If you look at it over an extended period of time, there's no long contact. There's no lengthy. Even email is different from writing a letter. When you write a letter, you can write it all out and get your feelings out in a long conversation with your intended target. But email tends to be these short little snippets of things. And then there's Twitter, which is even shorter. I'll shut up now.
No, go right ahead. You were doing really well.
You're on
there.
A roll. Exactly.
In full disclosure, I think we should state that of the three of us, I'm the only one that really uses Facebook at all.
I don't have an account.
It does have its uses. There are people that I would have no contact with whatsoever if I did not have Facebook. I would have lost touch with these people years ago. It's good in that respect. It can be a real time sink. You could spend a lot of time. You could spend an entire day and never go anywhere else on the internet, which I think is kind of sad. I just mainly use it to keep up with people. I check it several times a day. I don't play any of the games.
You're not a Farmville kind of guy?
No, fuck no. One of the best things I ever learned on Facebook was how to block messages. So I actually kind of like it when one of my friends invites me to play one of these games because then I can block it and I never have to see the stupid ad again. If you didn't do that, your wall would be nothing but invites to play Farmville or Bejeweled or Words with Friends or whatever the fuck it is this week. Speaking of MySpace, though, that recently relaunched, like within the last couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, I did hear something about that. For whatever reason, there's a certain segment that's trying to basically revive the activity on that site.
It's musicians. Justin Timberlake, I think, is behind it now. But I think it's still after, like you said, it was the thing about 5 or 6 years ago to have a MySpace page. I never had one because I thought MySpace pages looked like shit. They were ugly. And I never wanted my name involved with anything that ugly. But I think a lot of the user base migrated to Facebook once it took off. But I think it was still a place where musicians went to post their songs, and you could still go and check out somebody and hear some tracks without having to go through a download service. And I think that has been what it's been relaunched to kind of focus around. I haven't been to it. I don't know. But this is going what I saw on This Week in Tech on the internet.
I like that idea. I think that's a great idea. And I think Facebook, the concept of Facebook, is better than the actual reality of Facebook. Simply because...
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, it's a great idea that grandma can keep up with the grandkids, which is fine, but then,
until the grandkids start posting pictures of themselves drunk at a frat party with their shirts off and vomiting in trash cans and stuff like that.
or the people that post every fucking minute of their day.
Yeah. And every, and every meal that they eat, a picture of every meal that they eat.
Right. I mean, it has. I can see in the general concept where it would have some good uses. But going back to what Rando was saying, I think it does take away from society because we have become such a give this to me now, let me have immediate feedback society that you can't kick back and relax and enjoy what you have in front of you. You get these little snippets of people's lives and you don't really get the person. I don't know. I just, it feels, very plastic to me. I don't know. Like I said, maybe it's not fair because I don't have an account. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it. I've seen other accounts, though, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't get the fascination. Maybe that's...
I don't know. I wonder if it satisfies some sort of voyeuristic itch that a lot of people
have. I could agree with that, yeah.
Well, it's, you know, this society, what we've turned into is me, me, me. You know what I mean? Facebook is the ultimate in me, me, me. It's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's you, you know, making you feel like you're part of something, which people desperately want to. Feel like they're part of something, and Facebook provides that. I just don't, going back to our original point, where it will it last? I just don't know. I mean, the way things are, as far as a technology goes for the internet, I mean, other than Google and Yahoo, this is pretty long lasting. But I just don't know if it's going to continue on, because I think something will replace it eventually, because that's what we've seen with the internet.
On the heels of that, a study was released earlier this week, I think. Again, something I saw this week in tech on twit.tv. A lot of an increasing number of people have started taking vacations from Facebook. Have stopped using it for long periods because of the drama that goes on there with just the various people on their friends list. And I can definitely see doing that occasionally. Stepping away from it. Probably a healthy thing to focus more on your own life versus what's going on this virtual realm.
Yeah. Yeah. Live real life.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when people say they have like 100 friends, I mean, that's the Facebook term friend.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a real world, you know, I'll bail you out of jail kind of friend.
Oh, definitely not.
You know what I mean?
Definitely not. Especially when one of your Facebook friends, with air quotes, is somebody that lives in another part of the country that you've never even met in person. And I have several of those, you know, people I know through various message boards or something that I've never met in person, but I follow them on Facebook.
I mean, it goes even beyond, like you were saying, Lefty. I mean, you don't even have to think of it as, will they bail you out of jail? Would you even want to go out and have dinner with these people?
True. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
You know, in some cases, would you even want to talk to them on the phone?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. I could see that.
I mean, I guess if you want to keep people at an arm's distance, but you want to know what they're up to, I guess maybe Facebook does that. But then again, so does IRC.
Yep.
Anybody remember that? IRC? It's still going on. It just seems to be this under-the-radar thing.
Well, it's not marketed. I mean, Facebook marketed more, you know.
Facebook is a lot more personal than IRC. I mean, you see the person's picture. You know what their actual name is. Versus on IRC, they're just a name they've given themselves, a nickname, and a string of text going across the screen. So there is a much more personal touch.
Yeah, but... Well, you know, I got two words for you, Monty Teo.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
No, good point.
So, I mean, it's prettier IRC. And then there's, you know, I'm sure people have built apps for their phones or whatever so that you can be tracked on Facebook or tracked on Facebook via Foursquare. I don't want people knowing where I am 24 hours a day.
I don't think anybody gives a fuck where I am 24 hours a day, other than my wife, and she's usually with me, so I mean, I haven't got any reason to be checking in. Oh, I'm at McDonald's, blah, blah, blah.
Well, to go into the ultimate conspiracy theory, hey, you know, not just Facebook can track you. It's public. The government can track you if you want to get real paranoid about it.
Well, the government's already logging every Twitter message that goes over the wire.
Right.
And not only that, you know, there's been some articles, I think, in Wired or Gizmodo or something about some massive, massive data center being built out in, like in Utah or something. And they're supposed to be able to, they're building it to be able to store not only every electronic communication like text and email and whatnot, but they're also planning to have it store every frickin' telephone conversation. There's been word that they've contracted or gotten the consent or coerced phone companies to allow them to put special electronics in major routing switches in major metropolitan areas so that they can eavesdrop on all this traffic, store it, and then data mine it later.
For the public good, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's
to protect you from the terrorists.
If this is true. Yeah, if this is true, and I don't know how much corroboration was done, but if it's true, and in a way I can believe it, it's the Homeland Security's headless monster. It's the warrantless wiretapping run amok. And I hope it's not real. I hope it's a hoax. But by the same token, in this, knowing what happened with basically Cheney running the country, because the second term of George Bush was he was just sitting back collecting a paycheck. Cheney running everything, and all of this stuff going on, and everybody beating their chest saying it's for the good. We got to defeat the terrorists. We got to whatever. I don't know. It just smacks of, like, instead of a police state, it's a secret police state. You know, there's Big Brother has become more close to being a real thing now than ever. It's just kind of scary, and I think Facebook is just going to become another data source for that.
Oh, sure. I mean, all the government with the, well, not to get too political, but with the Patriot Act.
Yeah, too late. We've already crossed that line.
But with the Patriot Act, the government has a lot more, to use this term ironically, freedom to do what it wants and to disguise wanting to basically spy on its citizens under the header of national security. It's good for America. We're going to, like you said, we're going to protect Americans from the terrorists, that kind of thing. And it's scary stuff when you think about it. I mean, it's going to get to the point where you can't get off the grid.
We're pretty much there to begin with. I mean, try to do something that's not in some way connected with a website or with Facebook, or that Google can't, find out about somehow.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, you can't go to the grocery store without them scanning it, and that's probably going to some database because of the local grocery store's card.
Yeah.
It's just scary stuff, I think. And, I mean, not this is Facebook's fault. I mean, they're following the trend, and the guy, God love him, he's making a gazillion dollars for doing it. But I mean, I just don't understand the fascination with it. Going back to what we were talking about originally, I don't understand it, and I guess I don't understand people my age and our age rather that are into it so much that's their life.
That's just kind of sad. Somebody like that.
It is sad, but there are people like that.
Oh, I know there are, and it's just sad. I mean, they don't have enough life of their own, or what they do have is so humdrum.
Yeah.
They have to live vicariously through other people.
Well, the only real use I could see anybody our age actively using Facebook for is either reconnecting with school chums or trying to be online to maybe monitor their kids' activity to make sure that, to be a parent, for God's sakes, and watch after your kid and make sure they're not getting up to something they shouldn't be doing.
Well, sure. No, I mean, yeah, that's fine. I mean, the whole idea of reconnecting with people is fine, but I'll be honest with you, as far as I'm concerned, I've kept up with the people I've wanted to keep up with.
That is a super big point. It's, if you want to get in contact with somebody, there are plenty of ways for you to find them. You don't have to wait for them to be on Facebook. And that's another thing. I mean, like, I keep up with the people I want to keep up with, and everybody else, it's a two-way street. If they wanted to keep up with me, they'd contact me. And, it hasn't happened. I actually tried registering on some of these high school class reunion websites. Mm-hmm. And nobody gave a shit. So I'm like,
well, fuck you too, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, look, I've got my circle of friends. We both keep in contact with each other, and that's fine. I don't need to keep an eye out on everybody I've ever met. It seems to me like the prospect of it is more interesting than the actual task of doing it.
I didn't even put my high school stuff on Facebook because there's only three people from high school that I wanted to keep up with, and I'm talking with two of them right now.
Yeah,
and we all know about the other one. So,
right.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement, you know, at that. I'll learn to talk one day. I'm in agreement with you, Papa Shark. I mean, I keep up with the people I want. It's a telephone call. It's a personal interaction. You know what I mean? People on Facebook are not going to drop everything and come up here when you're sick.
No.
You know? And it's just...
Like I said, I've got family members. I've got casual acquaintances. I really wouldn't know anything about what's going on in their lives if it wasn't for Facebook. I have cousins out in California. And other than my, you know, once every other year trip out there, I wouldn't have any contact with them at all if it wasn't for Facebook. So, I mean, it is good for that. And I'll stick to my guns on that. But a lot of things that it gets criticized for are justified, though.
Oh, yeah.
By the same token, there's other means. If they've got a Facebook account, they've got an email account. I mean, Facebook is just a convenience medium.
Yeah, it is. It's convenient. I mean,
it's window dressing.
Rather than you tracking them down to get their email address or whatever. Yeah. So, I mean, when used the way it's intended to be used, I guess it does have some benefit. But when overused, I think it drives more of a wedge against people. We're rapidly becoming a society where we're creating instances of this attention deficit disorder because, like you said, Lefty, it's now. You know, if you can't hold my attention for more than 15 seconds, then fuck you. I'm going on to something else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame. I mean, we're going to get to a situation where people aren't even going to fucking read anymore. They're going to expect it all to be video or audio, and it's just going to be a really sad state of affairs.
As far as will Facebook last, I doubt it.
Something new is going to knock it.
Something will come along and knock it off its perch. I mean, it always happens.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that.
10 years ago, there was no such thing as Facebook or MySpace. 5 years ago, Yahoo and MySpace were the big things, and now it's Google and Facebook. And, you know, eventually something will come along to replace both of them.
Yeah, could very well be. Although Google is very, very well entrenched.
Yeah, I would less likely something
It'd be harder to knock Google down than Facebook,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that. Yeah. Okay, should we move on?
I think we should. Right. We should. We've got an interesting topic, friends on the internet. Lefty was posing the general question of what are we listening to lately? We haven't talked about music in a little while, so we want to get back on that topic. Lefty, why don't you start us off?
Well, I've been listening to a couple of different things lately. I do most of my music listening when I'm going to bed at night, and I just put some music on to try to relax and such. Now, what I've been listening to lately is he's a solo artist normally, but he must have formed a new band because I'm not like I used to. I don't have my nose glued to the internet to keep up with all the ins and outs of everything anymore. As far as, you know, I'll need to buy a CD and listen to it. I don't care about the story behind it. You know what I mean? But it's the artist is William Topley, T-O-P-L-E-Y. I discovered him about 3 or 4 years ago. I really like his stuff. The album I'm listening to right now is William Topley and the Sea Gypsies. It's called Water Taxi. It's a very relaxing acoustic album. He has a really unique kind of voice. It's just, I don't know, I like his stuff. I have everything. I think I have everything that he ever has recorded. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of him or not.
You made me a copy of one of his albums once, and it was okay. It didn't really grab me, but he does have a unique voice.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. Every album has a different kind of feel to it. And this one, like I said, is acoustic. It's very mellow and stuff, and it's just very nice to go to sleep to. And another album I've been listening to, artist Nicole Atkins. I don't know if you guys have
heard the name.
I don't know her at all.
All right. Her album's called Mondo Amore. It's pretty interesting. I liked her first album. I cannot think of the name of it right this second, but I have this one I've been listening to at night. It's popish, but it's still kind of unique. relaxing kind of thing. So those are the two albums I've been listening to a lot. I've been really sticking with those two.
Although you're not really selling them well, you're basically saying, here's some great music that will put you to sleep.
Well, yeah, I guess so, huh? Well,
it's Kenny G, but with vocals.
Yeah, well, I don't mean it like that. I mean, for those people who can enjoy music and feel the coolness run down their vertebrae as they sink into this restful slumber while good music is playing in the background, you would like it. How's that?
You need to say, I think it must, it's got to be allowed by, or required by law, if you're going to say stuff like, feel the coolness go down your vertebrae, you need to like be sloshing a snifter of brandy when you say that.
Exactly.
With your smoking jacket and your Playboy Playmate exactly. sitting next to you.
Exactly.
And a fez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. A fez would be perfect. Yeah, exactly.
You'd look fetching in a fez, actually.
I think I might. I might look fetching in a fez.
You should try going to work like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I should. That would be interesting. But that's the two albums I've been listening to lately. So there you go.
Okay. Well, Rando, you want to go next? Or do you want me to go?
I can go. A band I've been going to off and on is a Japanese band called The Seatbelts. I don't know whether you guys have heard of them at all or not.
Strangely enough, I haven't. No.
They are connected to a very famous anime called Cowboy Bebop.
I have heard of Cowboy Bebop, yes.
I've seen Cowboy Bebop, yes.
Cowboy Bebop is not only an excellent show, but half the reason to watch the show is the music.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
It's very jazzy. It's very poppy. Great band. And most, if not all, of the music sprung from the mind of Yoko Kanno. Prolific music writer. She does a lot of animation music for series as well as probably for movies, too. But the Seatbelts is a jazz band that was formed and played a lot of the songs. And they were actual songs. It's not just like incidental music. They were crafted songs. Jazz songs of varying tempos and speeds, very horn-dominated jazz. Great, great stuff. And some instrumental, some vocal, and it's really good. I have, I think, 6 of their discs, all of them television soundtracks. And that sounds like, something you roll your eyes at, but it's not. If you hear them, and I know people have posted, quasi-legal links to songs on YouTube. but, that's not me, so I don't care. Give them a listen, because it's excellent stuff. And to watch the show and have a show of such caliber of writing and music of such caliber of playing that the mixes together, it's a really a great 1-2 punch.
That sounds interesting. It's something I'd like to actually hear.
Yeah,
it's great stuff. I bought them as imports. There's a lot of bootlegs running around, but I got the actual imports from Victor in Japan. It is the most expensive set of CDs I have ever bought and have never once regretted it.
No, that's good.
I would hope
now,
so.
The question, yeah. But now the question is, though, can you sleep to it?
That is not music that you sleep to.
Okay. I was just checking.
That is music that you put on and you say, motherfucker. No, it's really good. It's highly energetic. Very inventive. I really can't say enough about them, except I will give. I read an explanation of their name, the Seatbelts. The name comes from I guess a gag in the band where they said they jam so hard they need seatbelts.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Hence the Seatbelts. So, but it's great stuff, and that's what I've been listening to when I work. I want to tune the rest of the world out because I don't have an office. I want to tune the rest of the world out and just concentrate on my work. I put on some Seatbelts and I'm in a little slice of heaven while I got to do my job.
Cool.
Very
Anything
nice.
Helps you get through the workday is good. Doesn't matter what it is.
All right. Now, how about you, Poncho?
Are you done, Rando?
I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
Sorry.
No problem. Okay. Most of my music listening was done with my iPod when I was at work. I don't have a job anymore. So I haven't been listening to as much as I was prior to that. I've been watching a lot of TV, unfortunately. And I've been reading, which is good. But I did, last night, I listened to an album called More Adventurous by Rilo Kiley. Are y'all familiar with Rilo Kiley?
I have heard of Rilo Kiley, and I probably have heard some snippets of it, but I've not actively tried to listen to it.
Have you heard of Jenny Lewis?
Yes.
No.
Okay, that's her. This is her band. This is Jenny Lewis's band. She had a really good album I would recommend for everybody out a few years ago where she did a collaboration with the Watson Twins, and it's called, I don't remember the name of the album. Rabbit Fur Coat.
I see the cover.
Rabbit
Fur Coat. Yeah, I can see the cover.
Yeah. This was a really good album. I was turned on to by a friend of ours. Really one of the few more recent records that's really grabbed me. I tend to gravitate toward older classic rock and jazz, but this was something that came out, I believe it came out 2005, 2006, and it has really stuck with me. It's got a lot of really good songs. Jenny Lewis is a great singer, great songwriter. I would just hardly recommend it. Really, really excellent album, especially on vinyl. I did also listen to The Beatles Revolver on vinyl, which I got for Christmas, and I just got around listening to it yesterday, which was a revelation, let me tell you. That is one of the best albums the Beatles ever did, and to hear it on vinyl in a really good, clear remaster was really good. I really enjoyed it, despite my cat chewing up the corner of the album cover. I can forgive him for that. He didn't chew the record. That's a good thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, really.
As much as they cost.
Yeah, seriously. Things are not cheap. Anybody bought any new music lately?
Oh, I bought a ton of music. Like between Christmas and birthday and everything, I actually haven't had a chance to sit down and listen to it all though. But I tend to do some of that this weekend. I've been buying a lot of R&B, older R&B music stuff from the 40s and 50s. And I bought a couple of blues compilations. What else have I been... I mean, like I said, this is all stuff I need to sit and listen to. I got a whole stack of stuff. I got Donald Fagen's new CD.
I didn't know he had a new CD.
Yep. Wow. Yeah. I like his solo stuff, so that's why I buy it. I mean,
I love Steely Dan. I've never listened to his solo work, though.
It's Steely Dan light.
Okay.
I mean, you know, it's not going to be quite the same, but it's not bad. I like it. I mean, I like his voice, and I like... I just like hearing new things from him. I really like Steely Dan, too. Let's see. What else? Well, Robbie Robertson's new CD.
I knew he had one out, but I have not listened to it.
I did listen to it. I actually have listened to that because I put it on my iPod to listen to. It's not my favorite album by him, but it's not bad. It's all about getting older. And he's talking about the old days a lot, but, you know.
We can all sympathize with that.
Yeah, exactly. But I like that album a lot.
Yeah, the only Donald Fagen stuff I actually actively remember and actively listen to is True Companion off the Heavy Metal soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's a blast. Yeah, there's a blast from the past. I have that soundtrack.
That's a great song.
Oh, it is. That's a great soundtrack,
yeah,
period.
Yeah, it is. It is a really good soundtrack.
I love that song. I really do.
I've actually heard Heavy Metal by Don Felder on Sirius Satellite Radio a couple times in the last couple months.
Oh, that's cool.
I've gotten one new record since Christmas. Obviously, I haven't had a job, so I haven't been buying. But I had the gift certificate at Amazon, and I had to use up a bit of it, so I got a jazz album by Bill Evans called Portraits of Jazz, which I just got in the mail the other day, and I've listened to once. But it was really good. But also rather mellow. It's just the piano, bass, and drum. So I have to give it another listen. But you probably could sleep to that.
A real quick side question for that, Pancho. When you order albums like that in the mail, how do they come shipped?
Cardboard box surrounding it. Usually has doesn't have a lot of padding in it, but it's usually a very stiff cardboard box about the size of the record. Might have a catalog or some stuff in it, but I haven't had a. That's really the first one I've ever ordered from Amazon.
Oh, okay, but no problems.
No, I didn't have any problems, and I've gotten a few from a company called Acoustic Sounds, and haven't had a problem with them either, and they ship very similarly.
Oh, I was just curious because I didn't know how well an actual album would ship.
Haven't had a problem so far. I would worry less about that I would a CD because there's no glass to break. I mean, it's harder to break an album than it is to break a jewel case. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. I have an interesting follow-up question to this.
Okay.
Something that the two of you have both brought up about talking about the music, and I guess me to a certain extent as well. Certain bands have instantly recognizable styles.
Mm-hmm.
Either the sound their instruments make, the way they tune them, or the way they filter them through their amplifiers or whatever, or the distinct sound of a singer's voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What first comes to your mind? You think of, I could hear like, you know, I hate to make a Name That Tune reference, but you hear like two or three or four notes out of a song, you know instantly who it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and the first two things that come to mind for me are that slightly buzzy sound of the guitars on Queen.
Uh huh. Brian May has a very unique sound.
Yes,
with
he
his
does.
Guitar.
And on top of that, John Anderson's voice from Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are things that come to my mind when I think of like really, really distinctive sounds. Those are right at the top of the list. I'm wondering if you guys had any thoughts of that. What do you think of? It's like, you know, I know who it is. The instant I hear a little bit of it.
Mark Knopfler comes to mind because he has a very unique guitar sound as well.
That bluesy steel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. Well, he has a unique playing style
as well. Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mark Knopfler of Dire Straits. Yes. For those who don't know him.
Now, for me, well, vocal wise, this is obvious as Tom Waits.
Oh yeah. Well, that's a unique sound there.
Yeah. You'll know who that is as soon as you hear it. Yeah. I think anyway.
If he sounds like your depressed old grandpa, it's probably Tom.
Yeah.
He's been gargling with gasoline, but yeah, that'd be him.
I spent all my money.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, as far as music right away, I would say, going back to what you said with Yes, I think their music style, you hear a few notes, I really, you know, you can tell right away that's Yes. Especially if it starts out with a bass line or anything.
And that's impressive to say because they had such a rotating lineup through the years.
Exactly, yeah. You're right about that. They did. But, yeah, I think they are maybe even I think David Gilmour has a unique style guitar-wise.
Yes, he does. And if you don't believe that, go out and get Roger Waters' live album that he did about 5-6 years ago where he performed a lot of Pink Floyd material with somebody else on guitar. It just sounds wrong. Even though it's a song he wrote, song he sang, it just does not sound right.
Yeah.
Without David Gilmour on guitar.
Yep, it does. He has a very unique style. His sound, especially, I mean, his first solo album, you can tell that's David Gilmour if you've never had a chance to hear it, which I really like that album, by the way.
I haven't listened to that in years. His solo work
really
just never struck me as that interesting.
Mm-hmm. I like that first album, but he's pretty big, I mean, for me, as far as having a unique sound.
Yeah, he was who I was going to say, too. He was going to be my next choice. One other music thing I want to, is a little rant I kind of want to get out of the way. Have any of you guys ever used any of those services like Pandora or Spotify or Last.fm?
I used to use Last.fm, but the last time I really sat down to try to use it and listen to it, it was all live tracks.
Oh, ugh.
And I'm like, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just the artist I was picking. Maybe that's all they had the rights to. But I didn't care for it.
I stopped using Last.sm. FM, too.
S&M?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Shows you what's on my mind.
That's the last time I do S&M.
I listen to Pandora quite a bit because it's on my Roku player. It's one of their featured apps, and it's an easy thing. It's a nice service. You can put in your, you know, a music genre, an artist, and they'll play songs in that genre or by that artist or similar artists. And it is pretty cool. I've stumbled onto some good new music that I probably wouldn't have listened to on this service.
Right.
One of the channels I have programmed is Americana. They don't know what the fuck Americana is. When I think Americana, I think Townes Van Zandt, Bob Dylan, Wilco.
Sure.
You know, the band.
Yeah.
Music in
acoustics.
That. Acoustic, kind of laid back, not quite country, but kind of in that direction type of music. Most of all, I would think the bands would have to be American.
Yeah.
Well, hence the name, yeah, Americana.
Exactly. The Beatles, not Americana, gets played all the time on Pandora's Americana channel. Today, I got You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC.
Australian band.
Not Americana. Even if they were American, I wouldn't consider that Americana. That's heavy metal.
Exactly.
The Rolling Stones. Guys, if they're not North American, we'll expand it. North American, because the because 4/5 of the band were Canadian.
Right.
But that sound is what, that's the defining band when I think Americana is the band. Something like that. Not.
It sounds, well, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go
it
ahead,
just sounds
go
like
ahead.
It just sounds like to me they've got it bled in with classic rock.
I think so. I think so. But it's not the same thing. I mean, you could consider it a subgenre, but there's more to this subgenre than just classic rock. You know,
right.
I would think a prerequisite would be the band has to be from North America. You know,
well, yeah.
Fucking
I mean,
Beatles
it could be
English.
I mean, it could be people like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, yeah.
Hank Williams Sr.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like you said,
Nico Case.
Yeah, country, bordering towards country, but not, yeah, it just sounds like to me they just flipped the switch and put on classic rock and
yeah,
let it go.
I guess. I don't know. I don't have that trouble. I've got a blues channel and a jazz channel. Don't have that trouble. It's only the Americana. It's just like, guys, it's not a hard concept.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Americana sounds like it could be this amorphous blob that means different things to different people.
I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that. But
so I mean, you hear blues, you hear jazz. They seem to have such distinctive styles that you could go to anybody in America and anybody from any other country and say, what is it when you think of blues? What is it when you think of jazz? And they'll probably say pretty much the same damn thing. But if they say, what do you think of when you think of Americana? I wonder if they trip and say, what do I listen to that makes me think of America?
Okay, I could see that. But that still doesn't include the Beatles or AC/DC.
Or the Stones.
Or the Stones.
Yeah.
But it's loud, it's rowdy, it's been used in a lot of American productions. It's referenced a lot in American culture. Not that it's not referenced in their home cultures. I'm just saying that my own cultural bias, that's what it is. And we export a lot of what we do culturally, especially movies.
And
a lot
music.
Of that music is featured in those movies and music. And I wonder if people see these things or hear about these things or they're used on the internet or whatever, and they just say, they begin to, you know, even though they're bands from other countries entirely, just because of the repetition, if they just don't associate it with America.
Don't know.
It could be that, or it could just be their programmers don't know shit about music.
It could
either.
Be that, too.
That is entirely true. Never underestimate the stupidity of the human race.
Exactly.
Now, there are certain songs by these bands I could understand. Like, there's a Rolling Stones song called No Expectations. I could classify that as Americana. There's a AC/DC song called Ride On, which is a pure blues number. I could see that thrown in there. But You Shook Me All Night Long?
Yeah.
Come on.
No, that's just playing the That's just somebody doesn't know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what that is, I think, anyway. And speaking of people who don't know what the hell they're doing, that would be leading us to our movie review this week,
yes.
I think.
Yes, yes.
That would be a good segue to that.
Yep.
We have decided to turn this into a public service announcement.
Yes. Take it away, Lefty. Since you're responsible for this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, responsible is the right word to use with this. Yes. This is going out to all of you out there in the internet, hopefully the world, that you sit here and while you listen to us, and hopefully you do not have to go through the torture and the sadness that is the movie Poltergeist. We beg of you, do not watch this movie.
Yeah. Do not. If you have to, do like Rando and get blitzed first.
I wasn't blitzed, but I did have three nice drinks before cracking into this movie, and believe me, it helps. Anything to get you into the mindset of a 12 to 13 year old will help you if you want to actively watch this movie,
because that is the maturity level of this film. Although if I had a 12 or 13 year old, I would beat them senseless for watching this film, because
I mean keep it away from your kids, your grandmothers,
your wives,
just keep it away. I mean, lock it up tight. If you see it on Netflix, pass it by like a $3 whore.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't go near it. Don't touch it, because you'll come back a different person.
Yeah. The internet likes to talk about things you can't unsee. This is one of them.
Yeah.
This was easily the worst movie we've done, and that includes Surf Nazis.
Yeah.
Easily, in an entirely different way that Surf Nazis was bad. Even though it was made by the same people, it was made by Trauma. But this movie was just gross. I mean,
it was gross is a good word.
If you get, I did not make it through. I stopped about halfway through, and it is not often. I watch a lot of bad movies. It is not often that I throw in the towel on one like that. But this one was so bad that you couldn't make fun of it. I mean, I take notes while I'm doing this. You may have seen the ones I posted for Battle Beyond the Stars on a previous blog entry. I went long periods of time and didn't write anything because I couldn't work with it. It was just bad, and it was just gross. I mean, people throwing up, big fat guy having explosive diarrhea in the bathroom. Who the hell wants to watch this shit?
I know. I live that every day.
The thing is also is that the movie doesn't even take itself seriously.
No, it doesn't.
So it's kind of hard to mock something that's also mocking itself.
Yeah.
Well, true. And yeah. they know they have a turd on their hands, a big pile of steaming hot turd.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, exactly.
Once again, somebody had to write that down on a piece of paper. But on top of that, somebody else had to pay for it. Somebody else had to convince a group of other people to participate. I mean, when the best actor in the whole program is probably Ron Jeremy,
who's on the screen for all of 30 seconds.
Yeah, you might have a problem with your film.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine pitching this movie to producers, you know, or trying to raise money for this piece of shit? Look, I got a great idea, guys.
Trauma, I think, is their own independent company, though. I don't think they had a problem there.
Well, they still have to raise money for it, though, don't they?
Well, evidently, idiots like us end up watching it and somehow getting money back to them through our subscription services.
I guess.
Even if some of us don't make it all the way through.
I don't know.
We're not, like, exaggerating. I mean, it's not really any point of talking about the actual movie.
Yeah, we're not saying this to make you go out and watch it. We seriously do not think you should watch this film.
We're not doing any kind of weird reverse psychology or anything. It's just, like, it's a piece of crap written for a bunch of 12-year-olds that I would not let if I had kids, I would not let them watch it.
No. But that did bring us to a discussion we had offline about there are different types of bad movies. You could see what Ed Wood was trying to do when he made Plan 9 from Outer Space. He was just really bad at it. There's that type of movie.
Right. Right.
You can see what Roger Corman's trying to do with some of his films. He just doesn't have – he didn't want to spend enough money to do it properly. There's mm-hmm. that type of bad movie. And then there's this one, which is just they're making a bad movie to make a bad movie. And they're just trying to gross you out in the process.
Get cheap laughs.
Yeah. I mean, the humor is – humor, and I say that with air quotes, is juvenile. I mean, you could see the jokes coming a mile away, and they go and do it anyway.
They make the Wayans brothers look good.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they make them look kidding, like the Marx brothers. I mean,
yeah. I mean, the best bad movies are ones who are unintentionally bad, or the ones like you have an actor who's just going over the top because he knows he's got shit to work with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The ones that are just, those are the ones you can make fun of because it's so many unintentional laughs.
Yeah. Or ones like, you know, Teenage Zombies, which was made, you know, basically was just a movie they ran before a main movie at a drive-in theater that they knew they had to have something to fill up the time. And they knew the teenagers that would come to see it weren't really going to be watching the film anyway.
Right. So those are funny. This is just not that.
No, it's not funny. It's not.
Yeah, it helps when a movie tries to take itself a little bit seriously, because then that gives you the something to make fun of. But no, the Troma team or whatever they call themselves, they are an independent production company, and they produce schlock for the sake of filming schlock. Evidently, there is a market for this stuff because they've been around since the 90s and earlier, I think.
Well, yeah, they must be making money, right? I mean,
at least enough to keep making pictures anyway.
Well, I mean, if you look at some of their films, I mean, they're very, very low budget.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah.
They could have filmed Surf Nazis on a budget of about, you know, $500.
They probably did.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, a lot of that stuff, like Surf Nazis Must Die, or this movie, Poltergeist, I mean, it had, well, more so Poltergeist, I'm sure that was more direct to video than anything.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I doubt this ever ran in a theater anywhere.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, but like Surf Nazis Must Die, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't remember. Did they make movies back then to go direct to VHS?
Oh, I don't know. They might have.
That's a good question. I don't know. But that Surf Nazis looked like it was in a 4:3 aspect ratio. Oh, sorry if I'm too far away. It looked like Surf Nazis was in a 4:3 aspect ratio, so that could have been a direct-to-video release.
Okay. Plus, I wasn't sure. I mean, I can maybe see that showing at a late-night movie somewhere. Before I can Poltergeist, because stuff direct to video now is so commonplace.
Yeah.
You know,
it is, but I mean, think about some of the time frame in which some of this stuff was released. I mean, trauma movies are bad movies. They're over the top with the gore, getting to the point of being silly. And they do it for the sake of being silly and gross and trying to show titties whenever possible. It couldn't run really on a late night network type or even community access type channel just because of that. It would be heavily censored. So
I could run on Skinamax.
Skinamax, yes, I was thinking.
You know, they would go to some sort of like cable outlet like that, or they would have to go direct to video. There's really no other market for it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to. It's hard for me to wrap around my head. I mean, the money aspect of this. You know what I mean? You know how many copies they have? Somebody somewhere is doing the math. This is how many copies of this piece of shit we have to sell to turn a profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understand they make the movie as cheap as possible. They probably distribute it as cheap as possible.
Oh, yeah.
So where you're only paying, if you actually bought the goddamn thing, you probably only pay $4 or $5 for the disc, you know, because it's not released through, you know, Paramount's not releasing this, you know what I mean? It's Joe's Bernadisc in the back of his garage, you know, it's basically what's doing it. So, I mean, but they still have to sell, I would think, a decent amount of copies to turn a profit. You know what I mean?
Which is the thing I can't wrap my brain around is who watches this stuff? I mean, somebody's got to be watching this stuff or they wouldn't make it. That's pretty scary. The people are actually watching this, wanting to watch this.
There's a lot of people other than just us who have bad movie review sites. There's a lot of people who want to see a bad movie just to laugh at it. Or,
and that's us. I mean, that's what we do. I mean,
that's not to say that there isn't a segment of the public that just has no taste whatsoever.
Well, there is that. Yeah.
All right.
But I don't know.
I mean, just maybe there's fans out there who just kind of like the genre because there is a history of horror and quote-unquote comedy being mixed together throughout the years. You know, maybe, you know, I'm sure there's a niche market for that, but I just can't believe there's enough people paying for this shit for it to be making money.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
They wouldn't do it.
Right, exactly. They wouldn't keep making them if they're not making money in some form.
Well, look at the films of Hal Needham.
Well, that's a good example there, yeah.
Yeah.
But he got his actually out in the theaters. I mean, if he hadn't have hit it as big as he hit it with Smokey and the Bandit, he probably would not have lasted as long as he did.
No, he never. If it had bombed the way Cannonball Run 2 did, he never would have made another film.
Right.
I don't know. Or he would have made films for Trauma or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
Maybe. I don't know.
Alrighty. Yeah. Well, we had previously decided we were going to start doing the B-movie review every other week, and we're not going to do a bad movie next week, and I think that's a good thing after this last one.
Yeah, no kidding. We need a break, and I'm sure our listeners need a break.
Yeah. So I guess that brings it to the end of this week's podcast, unless you two have something else you want to add.
Well, not necessarily. How about you, Rando? Not to put you on the spot or anything, but...
And that about wraps it up. Next week, we're going to discuss reboots and why they mostly suck. and some of them get it right. So we're going to talk about reboots, and we're going to hit a topic we haven't really touched on at all. We're going to talk about what we're currently reading. So we're going to follow up with that, and I think that is going to make a show this week. So I hope everybody had a good time. We enjoyed getting together again, as always. And again, thanks to everybody who's following us. Thanks to everybody who's reading us or listening to us. We really appreciate it. Please give us feedback either on our Facebook page or drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you at MLCTaskForce, it's all one word, @gmail.com.
And our Facebook address is facebook.com/midlifecrisistaskforce.
Yep, we're open 24 hours.
Yep.
7 days a week. So go ahead and drop us a line.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Exactly.
There you go. All right, take care.
All right, have a good week, everybody.
All right, see you next time.